Hi, my name is Seema. I'm a baby and toddler sleep consultant and a qualified therapist. I'm a mum of three. I live up in Essex and I'm here to tell you a little bit more about myself and my journey as a mum. I think the first thing that I'll say is that I didn't ever anticipate how hard becoming a parent would be. And I'm sure other people would agree with me, but it's not until I've stepped into it and on a day-to-day basis really felt the challenges that come with parenting multiple young children. So my journey as a parent started about 10 years ago, 9 years ago. I've got three girls, absolutely amazing girls. You know, they're everything I could ever have asked for. One's 9, her name's Deviani, and then one is 7, who just turned 7 a few days ago. Her name's Davina. And then the third is Devika, who's 4 years old. So with regards to the names, by the way, Dad named them. So, yeah, amazing names. But in our religion, so I'm Hindu, Hindu Punjabi, and my husband's Buddhist. What we normally do is we look at what time they were born, what date they were born, where they were born, and look at pulling out a letter from a Hindu priest or the astrological, you know, world where it kind of matches up, and it's something about luck. You know, it sits right with when they were born. So they all, funnily enough, came with DE, which is bizarre. So my journey began sort of that long ago, and it's such a big journey. Like, I'm almost stuck around sort of where to start. And I always knew that I wanted to have children. I knew that, and I always knew that I wanted to have more than one. But I also didn't realise how difficult it was, what the whole journey entailed, how much I would change, what would be required of me, what I would need to give, and what even I would receive as a mum back from my children. And to have like a family unit where I look at them now and I think, right, I've created you girls and I've raised you girls with Dad, and a feeling of like proudness. I think now that they're older, you know, the older one is 9, as I've said, and then 7. So they're at that kind of age where they've turned a bit of a corner. You can have a bit more of a grown-up conversation with them. They listen a lot more. You know, they're more independent, self-sufficient, and a lot calmer. And that in itself has been a different journey. And I'm going to come on to that in a second. But their turning points and what that's meant for me and my mental health, my emotional well-being and my physical health is obviously, you know, changed as the years have gone by watching them get older. It's quite different with the baby. I call her the baby, but she's 4 years old now. So it's a cliche to say, even my friends are like, you still call her the baby? I'm like, yeah, I do. I suppose I'll always call her that. She's a bit of a warrior, really. She's a wild one. We had a really challenging time with her when I was pregnant, because we didn't know as a family whether we would cope. You know, my husband was very much like, I can't do it. I don't know how I'm going to cope, you know, financially, physically, with health stuff going on and, you know, expanding as a family and, you know, what that all meant and, you know, what challenges are going to come up and things like that. And I knew that, you know, I was adamant that I wanted to go ahead. You know, there was no way I'd considered any other options. And of course, when she was born, you know, she's fitted right in, and, you know, he absolutely dotes on her. But expanding the family, and I'm an older mum, so I'm 44 years old, and it's funny, I was having this conversation with my 9-year-old, with Deviani, this morning, actually. And I was a little bit out of breath, and I said to her, look, I said, because she's at that age where you can be a bit more open now. And I said, look, I said, I had children when I was older. I said, you'll see mums that are very young, and you'll see mums that are in their mid-20s, 30s, you know, even mid-30s. So not just 30, but 35, 36, 37. And obviously I had Deviani around about that same time as well. But to have a 4-year-old at the age of 44, and it even shocks me sometimes when I see a post online and people are like, you know, I'm 40 years old or so. I'm just going to plug my charger in. I'm 40 years old, and you know, we're thinking about having a third, and we don't know whether to go ahead. And I think, oh my goodness, I did that without even questioning it. And it's hard work. It is really hard work. And I've written a blog about this previously, but I would say about 2 months ago, I had a turning point. I'll speak about that turning point in a second, but over the last 10 years, we've had multiple challenges, a few traumas, traumatic experiences, really difficult situations, and we've not known how we're going to cope, how we're going to survive, how we're going to get through what we're facing. And I think that I can safely speak for my husband as well. We have been, and I know I have been, in survival mode for the last 10 years. And I never realised that I was in survival mode. But building a business, managing young multiple children with no support at all whatsoever, we don't have a massive family, and, you know, having different health conditions in the house with different adults, you know, who we live with, and, you know, lots of internal challenges that we've had. And to not know how we're going to take the next steps in our lives, where we're taking the next steps, what we need to do, and how, you know, basically how we're going to get through. It's almost like, even as I'm talking, I can look back and think, we've just held on so tightly and literally just put one foot in front of the other and just try to muddle through. So I work with a lot of families. I've been working with families for about 17 years, also being a therapist as well, somatic therapist, psychodynamic therapist, person-centered therapist. I've got a lot of experience, and I've been working with families for a long time. So I specialise in working with parents and mums in particular that have young children that are sleep deprived, that suffer from stress, overwhelm, depression and anxiety. So when I look back at the last 10 years, it's almost like I can say, this is where my blog comes in that I've already written on my Facebook page. It's about losing myself since I've become a mum and what becoming a mum has meant to me. And now I can sit back and look. I lost myself in the last 10 years. And the way that I've lost myself has been, I've not known who I am, and I've not known how to survive, and I've not coped, you know, massively well. You know, some people would say, oh my goodness, you know, you've done such an incredible job and you should be really proud of yourself. And that's great, and that's fine, and I acknowledge that as well. But when I look internally into my last 10 years, I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just hanging on, and I would suffer from really huge anxiety. And I have to say, I think it probably started when, after I had Davina, or, you know, in between, I'd say, when Davina was probably 2 years old, more so, because, you know, it's easier managing a first. I found it a bit easier, but then that's only comparing to now. That's why at the time it might not have been like that. I know loads of people that have got one child that really struggle, so I'm not kind of you know, minimizing the experience of just having one, but where I'm at now,
knowing what I do know now, it was easier having one, obviously. And then having Davina, I think there was a bit in between, and I think it was around COVID as well. So we have got a vulnerable adults in our household, and during COVID we shielded for 2 years with very little support, and our home educated both Deviani and Davina at home while Devika was quite young. And I remember that's when my anxiety was probably at the worst that it was. And I remember thinking that I can't do this anymore. You know, I went to the GP, I shared with the GP what was going on. They put me on antidepressants for about six months. Had antidepressants, which made a massive, massive difference. I can honestly say, and it was really hard for me to reach out as a therapist, knowing that, you know, I work with people day in, day out around emotional well-being, mental health, stress as a mum with young children, and I wasn't coping. So it took me a lot to reach out, admit that I wasn't coping, get support, and actually put my hands up and say, do you know what, I can't do this anymore. I'm home educating. Oh my goodness, like it nearly broke me. And when I share that experience, they're in school now, you know, so the older two, you know, I've got Deviani in year 5, Davina in year 2, and Devika in full-time nursery. And when I share this story with, you know, parents at the school, not obviously in this much depth, but just a snippet, they, like, you know, even a month killed us. And I think, oh my goodness, like I've tried to really, really kind of muddle through. And the thing is, it just goes to show how hard I was on myself. And I wasn't very lenient. I wasn't very gentle with myself. So I had these massive high expectations that, you know, alongside this internal battle that kept telling me that, you know, you're no good at this, you know, you can't do this, and you're not coping very well, and you should know how to do it, and you should do this better, and lots of negative self-talk, lots of inner dialogue. Along with that, I had the fears and stuff, but expectations were so high that it kept me linked in with the negative thinking, and I actually truly believed that, not so much that I was a failure at being a mum, but that there was no other way moving forward, that I had to stay shielded, that I had to, you know, keep home educating. And it was a massive decision to get the girls into school. And my older daughter, Deviani, she used to get really sad. She used to have bouts of like depression, and you know, I was in touch with a child therapist as well. So both the girls had play therapy, and you know, she was socially suffering, and the guilt inside was killing me. And I kept thinking that, you know what, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel right. You know, we need to make a change. We need to make a decision. So I do think that COVID, home educating, had a massive part to play in it. In that kind of, you know, the stage that we were at in our lives. And then I decided, right, they're going to go to school. They're going to be so much happier. And that, this is no, there's a little disclaimer here. This is no reflection on home education. I have researched it. I've done it. And it was phenomenal. Phenomenal in the sense that they learned what they needed to learn at the right time, organically by themselves. So riding a bike, telling the time, taking in maths. Like Deviani used to cry when we used to sit down and do maths, and during home education I realised she's not ready. That's it, she's not ready. So I love the home education system and the philosophy behind it, and there were loads of groups available. You know, we went to Forest Learning and you know, done things like that. There was so much available out there, but it depends on family to family. So for us, it wasn't working, and it was because, you know, I was trying to focus on my business. And I've done another podcast around managing mum overwhelm, overlapping work around, you know, looking after the kids and the mental impact that that has, you know, on a person, or it has on me anyway, and the changes and the boundaries that I've needed to put in place for that, and still do, you know, on a day-to-day basis. But they started to go to school. So fast forward, you know, now up to now. So they went to they started school probably about 2 years ago, and they're happy, they're healthy. You know, they've got great friends. They're really enjoying, you know, school and learning, and they're thriving at school. So I know it was the best decision for us as a family, and it gives me time to be able to focus on not just building my business, but building my identity, right? So I mentioned earlier in this podcast that I had a bit of a breakthrough or a pivotal point a couple of months ago. That 10-year period, when I look at it, I've come out of that. So nine and a half year period, and a couple of months ago, and I remember it was a full moon as well. And I've been doing a lot of developmental work and you know, energy shift and identity shift and coming back to myself and exploring who I am and reconnecting with who I am, not as a mum, not as a wife, not as a, you know, homemaker or, you know, businesswoman or anything, just as a woman, as a person, who I used to be, how I've changed, who I am today, who I'd like to be in the future, how I show up in the world, what I would like to give myself and keep that for myself without sharing parts of that with my husband or with my family or, you know, with the kids. So I've got something for me, which I lost during the last 9-10 years, becoming a mother and giving of myself to other people and being in like a caring role where I give more and beyond, to the point that obviously I ended up on antidepressants and physically, you know, had a bad back, bad knees and things like that. So that's what I mean about losing myself. But coming back to this weekend a few months ago, it was a full moon and I just kept feeling very different and I could feel something shifting. You know, and there's a lot of talk around now that the planet's shifting and we're entering a new phase and things like that. And I do find, you know, full moons quite powerful as well. And I was going through this process and it was about 3 or 4 days. And it was almost like something shifted away and chipped away and I outgrew old parts of me and I could feel new parts of me coming up over the course of the weekend. It was a really chilled out, quiet weekend. We were at home, you know, didn't really get up to much. But internally, I had this like feeling and I had these internal shifts going on and this thought process, and it did last about 3 or 4 days. And there were times when I cried during the weekend, and there were times when I just went off and put my earbuds in and listened to some soft music. You know, there were times when I just sat quietly. I was like, I wasn't disconnected in the sense that completely shut off from the family. I was just in my own space. My girls would call it being in your egg. So when one of us are in our egg, everybody leaves them alone. It's their safe space. And I started to have this realization that becoming a mum has caused me some trauma. And I don't know if other people feel this way or if other parents or other mums feel this way, but I feel quite emotional talking about it. And I don't know why this is, but becoming a mum has traumatised certain parts of me in the sense of losing that identity, giving away too much of myself, not knowing how I'm going to cope, all the negative dialogue that I've just talked about, and being terrified, being absolutely terrified of making these babies, growing these babies in my body, having this experience with a God or, you know, the universe or, you know, whatever you might call it. For me, it's God. To trust the process that this is a natural thing that takes place in a woman's body, and I've grown these children and I've given birth to them. I've gone through the physical, you know, thing of going, you know, labour, and watching them grow and become older girls and thinking that I did this, but the hardship, the trauma parts and the difficulties, the struggles have changed me as a person. And I think now acknowledging that when I look back at that 9 and 9, 10 years, it's almost like I've been in a lot of pain. I've been in a lot of emotional pain and I've carried a lot of heartache. And I don't know exactly fully what that's about, but shedding old parts of me and becoming a new person. So this weekend that took place a couple of months ago, it was such a big weekend for me. I literally felt like I was becoming a different person, a new person. And I almost just sat looking, thinking, I'm a woman. I'm a person. I'm a human being. I'm not just a mum. I'm not just a wife. I'm not somebody that holds the house together. I'm not just a giver. I'm actually somebody who, you know, has an identity. And I wonder what that identity is, because it's definitely different from before I had children, right? There's still parts of me that are, you know, the same, obviously, but I'm a changed person. And I just remember thinking that these girls are separate to me. They've got their own identity. They've got their own paths. They've got their own lives. And I am me and they are them. And it was a wake up. It was almost like not a wake up call. It was almost like an awakening to feel that there was a shift in our lives as a family unit, that I do not have to give what I have been giving for the last 10 years to my girls or my husband. I can now give to myself. And that was a massive realization. And it was an internal shift for sure. And I've carried that through with me. And I always say, like, to my counselling clients, once you change internally, you know, that shift stays with you forever. It just becomes who you are, you know, part of who you are, rather. And I hold myself different now. I carry myself different now. I'm more vocal. I've got more boundaries. I'm more assertive. I'm more clear about what I want, what I need. I'm more, less guilty of saying to the girls, nope, mummy's going to be working. Nope, mummy can't take you there. Nope, we're not going to be doing that today. Nope, we're not having that now. And previous to that, it was like, yeah, oh my God. I was just like, I don't know. It was all just entangled into one before this weekend. So I can't say that I've fully transitioned into like the new me. And I was listening to a podcast yesterday actually, and you know, an amazing woman, she is a somatic therapist and a business coach, and she was sharing how you never stop healing. And the person that invented somatic therapy, he was at a conference, and he's 82 years old, and he's writing his last book, and he cried and cried at this conference, and he was talking about how you never stop healing. And I completely agree with that. I'm so on board. Like, this is a journey, and we know that, you know, some people might agree and some people might not, I don't know, but for me, this is an ever-changing process. So I know that I'll feel different in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time. And, you know, but this feels like a bit of a major shift for me where, you know, I want to show up differently. I want to be more honest about who I am. I want to share more of my struggles with people and, you know, be less ashamed about asking for help. And not that person where I was home educating during COVID and bringing up 3 girls and, you know, every single day feeling like I'm not doing this right, we'll try again tomorrow, and then tomorrow being the same cycle again, and then being stuck thinking, right, you know, why is the day turning out like this? So just living differently. Still, I still have fears and I still have down days, and I still sometimes feel sad. And like I always say to my counselling clients, it's not about fixing feelings or living a completely happy life. It's about managing the emotions and just showing up with yourself, to yourself, with everything that you are going through or everything that you're feeling, and being present with just that. Obviously, I don't know how the next 10 years are going to pan out, but, you know, it's definitely been a journey. And when I work with families around sleep training, this kind of feeling or this thought comes up quite a lot of times around parents managing young children, the physical exhaustion, the mental strain and the emotional impact. And because I've gone through this journey, I understand you. So I know I've suffered sleep deprivation and I've suffered anxiety and I've suffered trauma. And I know the difficulties, you know, and the challenges that people go through, and I feel it. And it just, you know, people say that your pain can be your greatest gift. You know, we hear that quite a lot. And I'm so grateful that I can share this with my families. And, you know, I can say, you know what, I understand that bringing up young children is a challenge. Like, some of the things that have really pulled me, sometimes I look back and I think, oh my, and even now, so it's not just in the past, it's now. Like, when I go to pick the kids up from school, 3:30 till about 7 o'clock is a complete madhouse. Like, we don't get, and I've shared this before, we don't get anything done. I don't even attempt to answer calls or answer emails or anything like that. That's the time where the girls are just like crazy. And it pulls on everything you've got. The baby comes home and she's exhausted. You know, if she doesn't get the right socks, we go into a full meltdown, you know, and then she doesn't want to listen to anybody. And then she scares the older two, you know, by hitting sometimes. She's hit a few times. And, you know, how to kind of discipline her. And, you know, you can't shout at her because then she shouts back and that makes her worse. And then she's learning anger. So, I mean, I do sometimes shout at her, obviously, but... you know, knowing how to respond to her, meet her needs while balancing my own and managing everybody else. So when parents come to me and they say to me that they're exhausted, you know, mentally and physically, I get it. I completely get it because I still go through it now. You know, in another podcast, I've talked about boundaries and I've talked about making things non-negotiable, like for us, 7:30 into the bed, and that's it. So lights out at 8 o'clock, you know, the older girls can read and stuff like that. But I need a break. I need a chill out time. You know, me and my husband need to catch up. We need to wind down from the day and we need to have some time for ourselves. So it's been a big journey, and a fulfilling journey, a painful journey. And now I want to look towards making it a happier, calmer, more positive journey. And hope you've enjoyed listening.